Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Is Vrajeshwari Devi Dasi present? Ah, there she is. Okay. Like I said, we're going to continue on with talking about the Govardhan Leela. Why not? It is Govardhan Puja, in 4 weeks, roughly. But Srila Prabhupada would say that repetition of a good thing is good. So, the more we hear about the Govardhan Leela, really, the better, in one sense. And it is the last day, I think, that people can sign up with Vrajeshwari Devi Dasi, who's in the corner there, you see, in the green, there she is, to make an advance order on our Govardhan book. Normally 400 rands, but if you sign up with her, it'll only be 350. It's due in about 2 weeks. Should we pass it around for anyone to look at? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Just handle it with care, please. It's the only one we have right now. If you already have a look, pass it on to someone who has not. And at Prema Sindhu Prabhu's place, where did we get up to? We had been through Manasi Ganga. It is. Okay. All right. And Dham Gati?
No.
Not yet. Oh, we've got a long way to go. Sure. To get through the whole Govardhan Leela, you're going to have to come to Midrand on Saturday. Oh, but you're having Giriraj Maharaj's Vyasa Puja here at the same time. Hare Krishna, I don't know what to say. Well, he's Giriraj. Anyway, okay. So, such is life. Decisions, decisions, decisions. All right. So, let's see. Okay. So we got to Manasi Ganga and we went around Manasi Ganga, and then from there, if you go on the parikrama, well, how many of you, just as a matter of interest, please put your hand up, if you have been on Govardhan parikrama previously? Okay, so that's a fair percentage of you. And look, who do I see? Oh, it is Sundarlal Prabhu from Mauritius. Wow, we are fortunate tonight. Our good fortune has overflowed. Wonderful devotee from Maurice. Kimanya. Where? YOC. To Korek. Anyway. So you pass through the Govardhan town. If those of you who have been on it, you probably remember from Manasi Ganga, you go through the Govardhan town and we stop. Normally we stop. Where do we stop? At the Giriraj sweet shop. Hare Krishna. That's a serious place of pilgrimage. And there we get the best Son Papri in the world, as far as I've seen. And if you're Gujarati, please don't take offense at this, but the best Dokra in the world. Sure. It is. You'd have to experience it to understand. But once you experience it, you'll understand. Plus, of course, the most super excellent chum chum. Oh yeah, it is really just. It's nice. So then from there we go up, we turn left. And then you go down, it's sort of a gentle incline along the side of the hill, and it's all straight for quite some kilometer or something like that. And that area, as you go down that gentle slope approaching our ISKCON temple, which is on the left, a little further down, but that area in general is called Dangati, which means the place of the tax collecting pastimes. Dan, well, it means donation, but it also means tax. And Gati really means a gully or some sort of like passageway on a hill or a mountain, something like that. So there are many famous stories that the gopis would come through and with their pots of yogurt and ghee and different dairy products on their heads, and Krishna and the cowherd boys would stop them. I just can't remember if I explained at Premasindhu Prabhu's place that there Srila Rupa Goswami wrote a drama called Lalita Madhava, which is very dramatic. Did I mention Lalita Madhava? Do you remember?
It was PE.
Okay. So in Lalita Madhava, it's a drama. It's a drama script, actually. That's what it is. But it begins pretty much with Krishna leaving Vrindavan and all the bridge buses being thrown into a bottomless ocean of separation. We have all felt some separation, no doubt, before. If some family member or someone close to us has passed away or something like that. So we've all had some experience, I'm sure, with separation, but not like this. As we know, Lord Chaitanya says that yugaitam nameshena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahename, that feeling your separation, O Krishna, then yugaitam nameshena, a namesh, which is a fraction of a second, a small fraction, it feels like a yuga. Prabhupada translates yuga in this context as 12 years or more. In other words, it is a long time, very long time. Just a fraction of a second feels like that in separation from Krishna. So that's what's described there in the beginning of Lalita Madhava. And Srila Rupa Goswami, his writings were often edited or checked by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who was his disciple or like his disciple. And so Raghunath Das started reading Lalita Madhava, which, like we said, begins more or less with the description of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and all the bridge buses becoming totally overwhelmed in separation to the point that some of them were dying and some of them were even committing suicide. Lalita jumped off Govardhan Hill, Vishakha, just walked into the Yamuna River and didn't come out. So it's really very, very dramatic. And Raghunath Das Goswami read that, and he became so affected by the extreme feelings of separation being described, and he himself entered into it all, that it appeared he was going to die, that his body was just being torn apart physically. Yes. So the devotees, seeing this and understanding how it was happening, they tried to get the book away from him, Lalita Madhava, that in one way or another they try and get it away from him. But he refused. He said, it is the order of my guru, Srila Rupa Goswami. It is his order. I must do it, and I am going to do it, and that's all. So they couldn't get the book away from him, and the feelings were so extreme. Sometimes his limbs would extend, the joints would sort of separate or extend much longer. Sometimes his limbs would partly retract into his body. As you see with the Jagannath deities, this is the case, particularly Subhadra, her arms have totally retracted. And this was happening to Raghunath Das Goswami, and the devotees could see. He will not last much longer. So they couldn't get the book away from him because he was just so committed, absolutely, to serving his spiritual master, to his prescribed duty, which had been personally given to him by his spiritual master, Srila Rupa Goswami. So they approached Rupa Goswami. This was all happening at Radhakund. They approached Rupa Goswami, who was in Vrindavan town, and explained what was going on. And they said, you've got to do something. So Rupa Goswami, what he did, he wrote very quickly a short, not that short, but somewhat short, like maybe 40 pages, 50, I think, actually. A4 single spaced. And he didn't have Word. Microsoft Word. So he wrote it like literally overnight. This drama is called Dan Kali Komudi, the blossoming blue lotus of the tax collecting pastimes. And then he quickly went out there to Radhakund and gave it to Raghunath Das Goswami and said, emergency, we have to get this book out, you know, like really quickly. You gotta check it now. And that's the order of the spiritual master. And the other one, Lalita Madhava, there's a few things, changes I want to make. Just give me that back. So that's how we got it back. And this Dan Kali Komudi is about the tax collecting pastimes at Dangati at Govardhan Hill. And it's very jolly and full of a very sort of boisterous and full of jokes and like shouting and pushing, all in a friendly spirit, and trying to get some tax out of the gopis, and the gopis are resisting, and they even transcendentally insult each other occasionally. Transcendentally. We are not transcendental, so let's not insult each other. So, and when Raghunath Das Goswami read this, those dramatic feelings of separation and transcendental pain, like ecstatic pain, they all subsided and he became very happy, and in this way his life was saved. Raghunath Das Goswami is a very amazing personality. Actually, just seeing, we mentioned him. He was so determined in his Krishna consciousness. You know, determination is a very important quality for devotees. We actually talked about it a little bit yesterday in Pretoria Temple. How to make decisions, important decisions in your Krishna conscious life, and then execute them without wavering and without changing your mind and getting sidetracked or backtracking like that. So Raghunath Das Goswami was a very amazing example of determination in carrying out duties in Krishna consciousness. It's described actually in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He would every day chant minimum 64 rounds, and then he would give class about Lord Chaitanya for a minimum of 3 hours. You know, for many of us, if we're to chant 64 rounds, it may actually take the better part of the day. And by the time we finish, you know, we feel we need a bit of a break and a rest. But no, he would go straight into a class for at least 3 hours. Then, on top of that, he would offer obeisances 1,000 times to deities. And when we say obeisances, we don't just mean, you know, on our knees and our hands, kneeling, that sort of obeisances, means prostrated on the ground. Obeisances 1,000 times. He would count. Then on top of that, if that was not enough, he would offer obeisances 2,000 times to devotees. And this would take between 22 and a half and 24 hours a day. Yes. Sure. That's really amazing, isn't it? Well, it's superhuman, actually. And there's a nice story in Bhakti Ratnakara that some devotees were visiting Radhakund, and they're going around Radhakund, Shamakund, and there were a few temples around in those days. So they're going and having darshan of the deities and going around like that. So they went into one temple. There was Raghunath Das Goswami on the ground offering dandavats. So they also did. And then, you know, after some seconds or so, they got up again. But they noticed that he did not. And then they understood, he cannot. He cannot stand up. So they helped him, they picked him up, and sort of dusted him off. And they said that, you know, you're such a great devotee. You don't need to do this any longer. It's so, so difficult for you. All you need to do is just stand in front of the deities like this and offer some prayers, and Krishna will understand, which undoubtedly was true, actually. So this is how they spoke to Raghunath Das Goswami, and he said, oh, thank you, that's a good idea, very nice, okay. The next day they came around, same group, to the same temple. They walked in, and what was the situation? There was Raghunath Das Goswami on the ground. And he couldn't get up. So they picked him up, but they didn't say anything. They just carried on. So a very amazing example of determination. And if we want to be successful in Krishna consciousness, particularly, but ultimately, if we want to be successful in anything, we have to be determined. We have to be determined. Otherwise, it just cannot happen. It just cannot happen. But if we're determined, then, well, Srila Prabhupada would even quote the well-known saying, God helps those who help themselves. If we really try, if we're determined, then Krishna will help. Krishna will help. So, this is very important, extremely important. So anyway, Raghunath Das Goswami, when he read this Dan Kali comedy, he got so inspired, and he was meditating on it, and it was just so ecstatic, that he got inspired to write like a sort of a sequel or a parallel. It's called Dan Kali Chintamani. And it's a story about another tax collecting incident. So just give me a couple of minutes to locate it here, and we will describe a bit about Dan Kali Chintamani. There was Krishna and the cowherd boys at Govardhan Hill, and who should they see but the gopis, Hare Krishna. So, Madhu Mangal, you know, he has a particular rasa with the gopis. He is Madhu Mangal. He is plump because he's very fond of sweets, particularly laddus, but any sweets, minimum 25 every meal. Minimum. And often more. Often more. So, and he has one leg shorter than the other. So he walks, you know, with a limp. Walks with a limp. You know, some people, they have that, some sort of disability of that sort. And, you know, he likes Krishna. He and Krishna are very close. Extremely close. But when things don't go his way, then he complains. You know, sometimes the gopis get the better of the cowherd boys in some sort of battle or competition of some sort. And then Madhu Mangal complains, how did I get mixed up with you, Vaishyas? I'm a Brahmin, I should have stayed with my own people. This is Madhu Mangal. And the gopis, these stupid girls. I mean, who needs girls? The world would be better without them. So he alerted Krishna, look, see, here they come. It's those girls again. And they stopped. So, well, anyway, let's just go through the story a bit. That Lord Krishna saw Srimati Radharani, and he became astonished and bewildered. And he said to Madhu Mangal, is this a blossoming champak vine? Because champaks, they have golden flowers. We have some champak trees at Radharadhanath temple, but you get vines too. Is this a blossoming champak vine? No, it couldn't, because champak vines are stationary. this thing is moving. Is it a lightning flash? No, it couldn't be. Because lightning flashes, they're just in the air for a split second and they're gone. And this thing is permanent. Is it a golden river with splendid waves? No, it couldn't be. Because rivers don't really have a form. This has a form. And he said to Madhu Mangal that, I cannot believe it, but I think that must be Srimati Radharani with her friends. A similar thing happened to Radharani. She asked her friends, is this a new monsoon cloud? Is it a sapphire flower? Sapphire flower. Is it a newly sprouted blue lotus flower? No, because this influences me to feel loving attraction, it must be Krishna. So it's a bit of a long story, and you know what I'm going to say, don't you? You have to get the book to read the whole thing. But it's quite a story. But what happened was, Krishna, Madhu Mangal, and the cowherd boys, they stopped the gopis and wouldn't let them past. And Madhu Mangal, seeing that the girls were cornered, sort of like check, or almost checkmate, if you are from a chess background, Madhu Mangal thought this was fantastic. And he came out in front of the cowherd boys, right sort of in the faces of the gopis. Ha ha ha, we caught you. Ha, ha, ha. He's one of the acharyas of that sort of thing. And then Tungavidya, who's one of Radharani's sakhi friends, close friends, she acted like a ferocious lioness and jumped towards Madhu Mangal, who immediately panicked and went behind Krishna and looked out. And he said, did you see what that crazy girl did? You've got to protect me. So Krishna, with Madhu Mangal's encouragement, said that, we know what you girls are doing here. You're sneaking around on the back paths, trying to sell your dairy products on the black market. We know. But we have caught you fair and square. Now you must pay tax. And Lalita said, well, we wouldn't mind paying half a bent brass coin to you. And Krishna said, look, don't worry. We don't want much. All we want from you is for each gopi is just 5 handfuls of diamonds. That's all. And you just go on your way. No problem. No, that's a lot, isn't it? 5 handfuls of diamonds for each gopi. I really don't know the value of that today, but it would be a very, very large amount. But then he said, but for you, Srimati Radharani, for you, there has to be a special tax. He said, okay, Madhu Mangal, write this down. Then Krishna went from the top of Radharani's head to the bottom underneath her feet, charging a phenomenal tax for each part of her body. Yeah? Let's just read a few of them. For your sindur, your red sindur. You know, all married women, they wear sindur in their parting, right? You know that, right? Right. Hair parted in the middle when the husband is at home. Hair parted, what is it, on the right when the husband is away. You know all these things, don't you? And sindur, particularly when the husband is at home, sindur all the way through. And it means it's auspicious, you see, for the husband. If the wife wears sindur on a daily basis, it means the husband will live a long life and be very healthy and happy. And if she does not wear sindur, maybe you won't live such a long life, and then she can collect the life insurance. So for the red sindur in your hair, you must pay 100,000 crystal stones. And for your beautiful braids, which glisten like black mascara, you must pay 200,000 charming sapphires. For your forehead, which shines like a golden half moon, you must pay the toll of 100,000 moonstones. Whatever that is, but must be some valuable stone. For your tilak on your forehead. See, we're just moving down bit by bit. For your tilak on your forehead, you must pay 100 million moon-shaped pendants studded with sapphires. For your bending eyebrows, you must pay. Well, yeah, the eyebrows, you know, they're curved. They are like bows. Bows, like bow and arrow, like the bow. You must pay 50,000 quivers, what you keep arrows in, studded with sapphires. And for your beautiful ears, you must pay the toll of many bow strings made of charming new lapis lazuli stones. For the arrow of your sidelong glance, you must pay the toll of 10 million sapphire arrows. And for your two beautiful eyes, you must pay 1 million emerald lotus flowers. What do you think? It's completely out of this world. And then he continues on right down to the bottoms of her feet. And when we did we talk about that sidelong glance at Prema Sindhu? Oh, we didn't. Oh, that's important. Because he says here, for the arrow of your sidelong glance, you have to pay 10 million sapphire arrows. Because, see, the thing is, the gopis and Krishna, they cannot look at each other. Because, you know, the strict Vedic culture, young men, young women who are not married, they can't just, you know, sort of look at the members of the opposite sex. And, you know, they can't do that at all. And their parents, particularly in Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, Mother Yashoda, and all the different parents, they would always be watching the gopis and Krishna to see, you know, are they looking at each other and sort of getting up to some subtle nonsense. So, therefore, the gopis, and Krishna, but particularly the gopis, developed expertise, incredible expertise, at glancing very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, like Alok Bhattapani here. Let us just say he's Nanda Maharaj for argument's sake. And he's watching Radharani. Is she looking at Krishna? Is she going to look at Krishna? But Radharani's looking at him like, you know, I'm looking at you. But she would very quickly glance, you see. So quickly that Nanda Maharaj would not notice, and he would think, she's just looking at me, but actually she had glanced at Krishna. And that glance, you know, very quick, but very powerful, and like an arrow, which would hit Krishna in the heart and just, oh, make a real impact. So you see, you have to learn, or you have to do this very quickly. And we are a little practiced in it. Just watch now. I'm going to look at Alok Bhattapani, and I'm going to glance at, well, over on this side, okay? Just watch and see if you can see my eyes. Glance. Are you watching? Watch. Did you see that? Just not possible. You gotta be really fast. Okay, anyway, but back to the story. That, you know, Krishna just went on and on and on till he got to the soles of Radharani's feet and just charged this absolutely unbelievable tax. And they just happened to be walking through with their dairy products. They were not carrying, they had some jewelry on, but nothing like that at all. So Krishna would not let them go without paying the tax, but they could not pay the tax. So it was just a stalemate. They just stuck there. Then Nandi Mukhi, who is the sister of Madhu Mangal, and they're both the grandchildren of Purnamasi and the children of Sandipani Muni, who's the son of Purnamasi. Nandi Mukhi came and she saw we have the stalemate here, no one is getting anywhere, and they're just stuck. So she told Krishna, don't worry, I will see that these girls come and meet you by the lake just down the road there. There was a little lake there. They will come and meet you there at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning with the tax. Okay? So, otherwise, you're not going to get the tax and it's just going to be wasting your time. So they agreed, all right, let's do that. 11 o'clock down by the lake. The gopis, however, came at 10 o'clock and hid behind the trees. Yes. And Krishna and the cowherd boys and Madhu Mangal came at 11 o'clock. And of course they were in very boisterous mood about how we got those girls. Ha ha ha. You know, all this sort of thing. But then the gopis jumped out from behind the trees and grabbed them very quickly and tied them to the trees by their seekers and started bashing them. As we say, not they, but we, say in Chatsworth. They gave them, like, really good what happened. Whack, bang, wallop. It was quite something. And Krishna and the cowherd boys were crying out, no, stop, please, please don't do it. Bang! And Krishna said, just please stop, we'll do anything, just tell us what you want, we'll do anything, but stop. And the gopis said, all right, we'll stop, but you let us off that tax. And Krishna said, no problem, it's all right, don't worry. Forget the tax, but stop beating us up. So this is described by Raghunath Das Goswami. And that lake where everything was concluded, that is called Dan Nivartan Kund, or the Kund where the tax was nullified. Yes, and it's still there. Still there. Yes, so when Raghunath Das Goswami read that, oh, he was just so happy. And he forgot all about, you know, the dramatic situations of the Lalita Madhava. So then we go on from there, we go into the area, it's called Anakukshetra. And this is actually where the Govardhan Puja as such took place. Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj and his associates preparing for a big religious sacrifice, particularly gathering many types of foodstuffs. And Krishna asked him, you know, what are you doing, Peter? What are you doing? What is this? And again, it's a long story. But Nanda Maharaj said, yes, we every year we do Indra Puja because we're farming people, we need rain, and Indra is in charge of the rain. So we do the Indra Puja every year. And Krishna was not happy because they were thinking that they should worship demigods and not just be devoted to him and be devoted to Vrindavan Dham and their way of life as cowherds, be devoted to the cows. Krishna was very disappointed. But Krishna could not just tell them that, listen, you don't need to do this. Just worship me because I'm God. Okay. All right. Right. So just worship me. It's okay. Don't worry about Indra Puja. I'll see that you get everything. Krishna didn't want to do that because then the mood, the loving mood of Vrindavan would have been lost. Because they'd just be in this mood of awe and reverence. We must worship Krishna and he will provide things for us. You know, that sort of spirit. Give us this day our daily bread. God has a big bakery in the sky. So we just ask him nicely. We get our loaf. We save 10 rands a day. And we really got the mercy of God. Big mercy. Save 10 rands. So, yeah, Krishna didn't want that. He wanted the loving mood. The loving mood to continue, but somehow to stop them. And somehow get them to focus on him and Vrindavan and the cows and Govardhan Hill. So, because that loving mood is higher, it's a higher level of Krishna consciousness to love Krishna as opposed to just respecting Krishna. Now, Now, we're talking about very high levels here. We should be very respectful to Krishna and the devotees. But on this extremely high level of perfect devotion, the greatest of all the great pure devotees, love is the main thing. And it's much higher than just some feeling of respect and reverence like that. So, I don't know if you heard the story. I can't remember. I told it in Prema Sindhu's, did I? Upananda, the meeting. Oh, I did. Oh, dear. I guess I have to tell it again. One day, Upananda, who is one of Nanda Maharaj's brothers, actually one of his older brothers, he called a meeting after the Damodar Leela. He had got some realization of the position of Krishna, that he's actually God. Or if not God, he's some very high person, maybe a demigod. So he called a meeting and he stood up and he said, okay, everyone, listen. Just listen. This Krishna, he is not an ordinary person. He's a very special person. He's extremely special. He may be God, at least he's a demigod. I think he is the supreme truth. And he is the supreme pure. And he is the supreme powerful. So, Mother Yashoda, you've got to stop waving your stick at him and wagging your finger at him and tying him up with rope. You've got to stop this, because he's a very important person. And Nanda Maharaj, you've got to stop chastising him and telling him off. You've got to stop it, because he's a very important person. He is the supreme truth. And Nanda Maharaj said, wait a minute. Just hold on. Just relax. He said, him, Krishna, him, the supreme truth. Listen. You don't understand. He is not the supreme truth. This boy is a liar. How can you say he's the supreme truth? You ask him, was it you who stole the butter? No. No, not me. Did you steal the gopi's clothes? Who, me? Oh, I would never do that. He's just a liar. He's not the supreme truth. And you say he's the supreme powerful. But at night, when there's a thunderstorm, he comes running into my bedroom. Peter, I've got to get in bed with you. I'm frightened. See, he's not the supreme powerful. He's just my son. And if he does some nonsense, I'm going to correct him. Anyway, like that. Along those lines. So then Krishna, very cleverly, preached an illusory philosophy, it's called Karma Mimamsa, which in very simple terms means that the main thing is karma. The main thing. Your work, the reactions to your work, this is the main thing. And he said, look, even if there is an Indra, if you do not create some good karma, how can he give you anything? Like rain. If you haven't done some good karma, how can he give you rain? He can only give you rain if you've done good karma. So you see, God or some demigod, whatever you may call it, they are dependent on karma. If it's not for karma, they cannot do anything. So really, karma is the main thing. Which means the reactions, but it also means the actions, like your work, what you do in life. So this is what Krishna teaches at that point to Nanda Maharaj. Therefore, we should worship our work. And the things connected with our work, the places where we do our work, which provide facilities for our work, we should worship these things. So we should worship Govardhan Hill and the cows. And Nanda Maharaj agreed, you're right. But actually it's not true. It's not true that karma, you know, like particularly that Krishna, I mean, it is a fact. Demigods cannot give you something unless you deserve it in terms of your karma. But Krishna, with his devotees, he can do whatever he likes. Even sometimes a devotee, like in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, verse 30, Apichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mamananyabak. Sometimes some devotee may do something very bad, which if a non-devotee did it, they would go to hell. But now if the devotee does it, Krishna says he must be considered saintly. And he'll quickly become righteous and attain lasting peace. So he tells Arjuna, declare it boldly, my devotee never perishes. He never falls down like the materialists fall down into some terrible condition. So that's even if the devotee does some sudur-acha. Acha, of course, means activity. Dur means bad. It also means long, far, difficult, like that. And su means very, very bad activity. Just in that regard, dur means bad, but it also means distant. When you're in India, if you have to speak to the taxi drivers or some people, whoever, about going somewhere, you may have to say something like, Bahut dur hai. It's a long way. Or, Bahut dur nahi hai. It's not a long way. Dur. So, you see, I live in Durban. You've heard of Vrindavan? Baalban, Taliban, not Taliban, Madhuban, these are the forests of the Vrindavan area. So our Durban means it is the most distant forest of Vrindavan. See, where Radharadhanath temple is. And Phoenix Temple. So anyway, Krishna convinced them. They accepted it. Although it's not true. It's not true. So then they did the Govardhan Puja. And they offered to Govardhan Hill all the food. All the food, tons of food, all sorts of preparations. And you know me, I always make this joke about beans. Anyway, please don't mind. I like beans, actually. Really. I had beans last night. Gudra. But anyway, all the different types of bean preparations you can imagine. And many you cannot imagine. And all the different sabjis and samosas and pakoras and pakoris. You familiar with pakoris? Oh. it's on a similar level to Cham Cham. You know, if you haven't had Cham Cham before, you wasted 25% of your life. If you haven't had Pecoris, it's at least another 10%. And yeah, all these amazing foodstuffs. And they offered them. Well, Krishna manifested a gigantic form on top of Govardhan Hill. And all the bridge busies sort of mystically, somehow, they could see, this is Krishna. Plus, it's Govardhan. Like this, they somehow got the realization. Exactly how it really occurred to them is not really explained much, but they got the understanding. This is actually a form of Krishna, and it's a form of Govardhan. In this way, they understood that Krishna and Govardhan are one. Yeah. And then they all offered their obeisances, and Krishna offered his obeisances to that gigantic form of himself and the hill. So then they offered all the food, and it was an amazing sight. There were rivers of milk, lakes of yogurt, lakes of kheer, sweet rice, lakes of rubbery. Are you familiar with rubbery? If you're not, you wasted another 10%. You better watch out. You know, you could dive into these lakes, just dive in, and just drown at the lotus feet of Govardhan Hill. What a way to go. So all these sabjis and different types of rices, different types, like pushpana rice. Are you familiar with pushpana rice? I tell you, if you're not, you're really in trouble. But good pushpana rice with nice rosemary, nice nutmeg, and so on and so forth. Oh, it's really special. And different types of halva. Yes, we're going to make some special halva tomorrow at, where is it? Vitz. At Vitz. And then they offered it to the hill. Oh, and there were waterfalls of ghee. Just waterfalls of ghee. And there were hills on the hill, different hills of different cakes and biscuits and sweets. And afterwards, those areas of the hill became known by the names of the different, like, you know, Burfi Ridge. And so on, like that. So, yes, and Govardhan, the gigantic form of Govardhan, with both hands, and he manifested many hands, he was just reaching out and taking all these different preparations. Within 2 seconds, 1.5 tons of rice and vegetables were gone, and that was just the beginning. And with his left finger, his left hand, the index finger, he was wagging his finger at Indra. Yeah, we beat you to it. Yeah. We got the nectar. And he finished everything in a few seconds. And then he just cried out, Anya! Anya! Give me more food. Anna means food, and or means more. Anya! Anya! What did he call out?
Anya! Anya!
car. We definitely wouldn't get any more. No, he called out, Adio! Adio!
Adio! Adio!
You might get something. And you know what happened then? Tune in on Saturday and find out what happened after that. It is very dramatic. I mean, it is actually quite incredible what happened after that. Okay. Okay. Hare Krishna. Sri Giri Govardhan ki.
Jai.
Sri Govardhan Puja ki.
Jai.
Sri Govardhan Parikrama ki.
Jai.